Hi, and thanks for joining me on the Credible Brand podcast. I'm your host and marketing strategist, Lindsay Wigfield. In this week's episode, we are talking to Guy Fletcher, the editor-in-chief of Frederick Magazine, a local lifestyle magazine. Guy recently led the team through a rebrand that involved changes in imagery, design, and content placement. If you are thinking it might be time for an update with your brand, you don't want to miss this conversation. Guy mastered the transition, and it was no easy feat. He had to balance loyal readers who had expectations of the magazine and acquire new readership. The feedback he's received has been overwhelmingly positive, and it took a lot of work to get there. Before we dive in, did you know that I write a newsletter each week based on the most recent episode of the podcast? It includes my key takeaways, marketing insights, and actionable advice, sort of like an expansion pack to the podcast episode. It also helps if you're a busy business owner and you want to receive the email first, see if the topic interests you before listening to a full episode. Subscribe to the Credible Brand newsletter at thecrediblebrand.com. And now, please welcome Guy Fletcher, editor-in-chief of Frederick Magazine.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Credible Brand podcast. Today's guest is editor-in-chief at Frederick Magazine, a magazine with the goal of becoming a guide to discovering the charm and beauty of Frederick, Maryland. He's been there for almost 16 years now. Please welcome Guy Fletcher.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Hey, Guy. Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you became the editor-in-chief at Frederick Magazine.
Well, like you said, I've been editor of magazine for 16 years. And as much as I would like to think I started when I was 26, that's not the case. Before that, I worked for several years in corporate public relations. I was a media relations specialist for a very large company. And then prior to that, I was a newspaper reporter for about 10 years of my life as well. So my whole background is in the communications field, but magazines in particular, just the last 16 years.
Have you been in Frederick?
Yes.
Were you a news reporter in Frederick?
Yeah. I was working at the paper in Hagerstown back in the late 1980s, 1990s. And my wife and I actually moved here in 1990. So I've lived in Frederick for 34 years.
Nice. You found your place.
I did. I love it here.
So tell us about Frederick Magazine. What is the mission of the magazine?
Well, you know, Frederick Magazine is what's known in the industry as a lifestyle city magazine, like the kind you see Washingtonian, Baltimore magazine. These types of magazines are very strong on cultural, arts, entertainment, dining. Sometimes people say finer living, which I think is erroneous, but they do. So when I got here in 2008, Frederick Magazine was what I would call a classic lifestyle brand magazine, in that it very heavy in those areas I just discussed. We did a lot of stuff about restaurant reviews, garden displays, you know, things like that. And my background being in newspapers and having a sort of a newsier background, what I wanted to do was introduce more of some more news content, more relevant types of issues that I think people would also enjoy. In addition to that, I wasn't going to take away the content that people loved. And the magazine has a very loyal readership. I wasn't going to take away that if you want to read about dining, we still have it. If you want to read about performing arts, we still have it. But I wanted to add some more things as far as social issues, you know, maybe even getting things like crime and education and newsier topics that I think would make the magazine more relevant. So we embarked on slowly introducing that, almost unnoticed, I think, over years. And the nice thing was, at the same time, the economy post-2008 was really starting to grow in this community. And as such, the magazine was growing because we had more advertisers, we were adding pages. So it made it much more easy for me to make the magazine much more diverse and inclusive because I had more pages to work with, which was a luxury, right? So that was sort of the path the magazine was that we were adding more content, different kinds of content that we were never doing before, and at the same time, still delivering the type of things that people had come to expect from Frederick Magazine. I always joke, I said, you can't be all things to all people, but we tried. We really tried.
So you became editor-in-chief in what year?
2008. Fall of 2008, I became the editor, yes.
Okay. And then during COVID, you were thinking that this needed to be more than just adding different pieces. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Process. So in addition to like sort of a slow content revision over many years, I wanted to change the look and the feel of the magazine as well. I thought we were due for a brand new look. The magazine, when I got there in 2008, again, sort of had that classic lifestyle magazine look. Very nice. You pull in your coffee table, looks great. Still does. As we got closer, I'd say right around 2015 or so, I started thinking it's time that we should really look at a total redesign of the magazine. And I have a great art director, and I was working with him, Joe Silovich. And I said, Joe, you know, and we were both sort of sharing ideas. And it was very informal at first, the types of things we wanted to do. And just as we started heating up and started talking talking about really, really doing this and moving forward, COVID came. And that was a very difficult time for us on many different levels. For one, just putting out a magazine was difficult without having people in your building, staff everywhere, very limited hours. You had advertisers who were gone because they had business issues of their own. So just putting out a magazine was difficult. I wasn't going to take on a redesign at that point. We kind of put that on the shelf. And also I thought, if we get through this, and I was thinking if, but I knew we would. If we get through this, are people ready for a disruptive thing in their life after they had this major disruption in their life? And I didn't think they were. So when we got through, you know, 2021, 2022, kept saying, is this right to do this now? And I kept talking myself out of it. It frankly scared me, you know, to do something so major, so dramatic that maybe the reader, maybe the customer would not be ready for that. So we put it off, but I still had this whole package of ideas, things I wanted to do, new content, old content, redesign content. I had all this whole thing I wanted to do, and it sat off to the side. So we were literally sitting in my office, myself and my assistant editor, Nancy Luce, were sitting in the office last spring. And Nancy says to me, she goes, when are you ever going to do that redesign? And I'll give her all the credit because she really made me sort of like get off, you know, and get back on it. And I said, you know, you're right. We really, and from that moment forward, we really started looking at how we're going to make a new Frederick magazine, a different Frederick magazine. And it was both a lot of work, but a lot of fun. A lot of the old ideas that I had for changing, we threw a lot of those into the wastebasket, pulled some things back, and we said, let's look at this again. We looked at ideas over and over. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. I used sort of what I call an informal focus group of people that I trust. I would bring them in. I would have them look at pages, say, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Would this work, you think? And get their opinion. So I was trying to get some outside, but I was also trusting my own opinion as someone who's been in the market, who's been in the industry. I was trying to, you know, get all kinds of viewpoints on this. So that went on all summer. And I guess by around the early part of fall, we kind of had a format we wanted to do. There were things in the magazine we were going to get rid of. There were things in the magazine we were going to repackage. There were things in the magazine we were going to rename. And there were things in the magazine that we're going to move to other parts of the magazine that people would not be familiar with. And we had a good idea how we wanted to do it. Now, as I always say, in the meantime, we're still putting out a magazine every month, which is difficult. We're still putting out Frederick Magazine and putting out what I consider a very good magazine. But we're also working on this redesign with the goal of having it out for the first issue of this year, January 1st. But that was the goal. And I'm very proud that we met that goal. It wasn't easy. We had a lot of ideas that we looked at. And it's like one of these things where in your head it works. When you write it down, it works. But when you see it like printed on an actual page, it doesn't work. And then you would redo it. So it was a lot of that. And frankly, a lot of it was trial and error. You know, we do a lot of things where we'd say, okay, we're going to try this and it didn't work. You know, we'll have to try something else.
Can you describe the style difference between your December 2023 issue and the new rebranded issue in January? What can you describe that?
Yeah,
difference?
I think the best way to put it is if you looked at the magazine now, the pages are still the same. We're a 96-page magazine, but to me, it appears like there's much more content. We took a whole bunch of, consider a moderate length magazine article of about 1,200 words. We took two of those and made four 600-word stories. So that's a tremendous improvement. We're able to offer more content. Now, granted, we're not able to get into as much detail and depth as we could in the past, but we now have the ability to offer different kinds of stories and more of them each month. So what used to be a four-page story is now a two-page story. We changed the design of it. It's more attractive. We're using some more white space. We're using pull quotes. We're more dynamic to the reader, more easier. So that someone says, you know, one of the nicest compliments I heard in the last month or so was someone said, what I really like is some of these shorter articles, I could just sort of like, you know, sit down, read it and go to work. You know, I don't have to invest too much time. And I was like, that's what I want. I want it to be a very easy read, but I want the stories to be important too. This isn't a cop-out to make things lighter and fluffier, but I just wanted to have more content. So that was the biggest thing to me, was having more content. Some other functional things we did was the front of the magazine used to have a lot of small items, news briefs, business briefs, dining briefs, very small business. And it took forever to get to sort of the meat of the magazine. 96-page magazine, our first feature story wasn't appearing until like page 50, right? That's way into the magazine. I wanted to disrupt that. So we now have moved things around. So we now have some of the bigger stories that are appearing in the page 20s now, right? And we moved our calendar of events to the back of the magazine. So we really, a lot of it was a lot of real estate moving. We took different parts and moved it to different areas. And some things, frankly, we, like I said, we cut or we added to. But yeah, big thing though is I think if someone looks at the magazine today and was familiar with us last year, even though the magazine's the same size, I hope they say, wow, it looks like there's more content now.
As far as imagery goes, mm-hmm. that January edition, you have the double-decker bus, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
How has the imagery changed at all for what you're looking for to capture attention?
I specifically wanted the bus on the cover for that first magazine. I thought it represented kind of something new in Frederick that was going to be exciting and fun. So when we were planning the redesign, I specifically kept pushing. I'll apologize now to the people involved in that bus because I was hounding them about getting that bus on the cover because I thought it would be perfect, you know, because what it represents, right? And I cannot wait till it's on the road. I really can't because I think it looks really cool. And I think it's two buses actually. So to me, yeah, the imagery is important. I'm a writer by trade. You know, I always tell people, I'm just a little writer. I'm not an editor. I'm a writer. But I always tell people the magazine is a visual medium. I don't try to kid myself and think that people read a magazine just for its sterling prose. I wish they did. I'd like to work for that magazine one day. But I also know that the visual, the graphics, the design, the photography is tremendously important. People need that visual medium to make the words work. So the imagery was very important for us. And not just photography. We look at the design. We look at, oh my gosh, we looked at typefaces. We looked at how we use white space. We really got deep into this, which was good. It was very, at times it was frustrating, but wow, it was so worth it because of what I think we got out of it.
What have your readers said with the changes with regards to like the articles being reduced to shorter articles? Is it generally favorable or is it mixed feedback?
No, it's been generally favorable. I've gotten this sort of like this, again, this compliment where they say, I know the magazine's not bigger, but it feels bigger, which is great. There are people who loved what we did. And we still do it in form, but we're doing it in a different way. I'll give you an example. This blows people's minds sometimes. I say, you know, some of the most popular pages in the magazine are ones that we don't even think about. And one of those happens to be one in which people take the magazine on vacation. They take a picture of themselves with the magazine and they send it in to us. And we publish a picture of them holding the magazine. We used to call it Wish You Were Here. We changed it to Postcard. Wish You Were Here used to appear really early in the magazine, around page 30, 35, 36, around there. And what we did, though, when we were looking at repackaging the magazine, we started putting content in relevant areas of the magazine. So when I saw that page, which is very popular, I said, well, let's put that with a travel story. Let's put that with a column that tourism does for us about local staycation type stuff. We have a 2-page story about a local destination within a few hour drive. Could be anywhere. And then we added, now we put that Wish You Were Here, now called Postcards. And now we have the local staycation piece that the county tourism does. But we moved it. We moved it to the back of the bag. So one gentleman emailed me shortly after and he said, I can't find this. You know, I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. We moved it to this section, which is further back in the magazine. And I think he was a little frustrated. So, and I knew that was going to happen because, again, you know, the magazine's 40 years old. There are people who've been reading this magazine for 40 years and they like it the way they like it. And I was very sensitive to the idea of disrupting it so much that it would be, you know, offend them. And I don't think we've done that. I think there's been some people who obviously are frustrated with some of the things we've done. But at the end of the day, they still understand why we're doing it. And I think I've been able to, you know, when I talk to them, they get it and they say, okay, I understand that.
Yeah. So at the time that we're recording this, it's mid-March. You've had the February issue come out in March. Do you notice a difference in sales, whether it be people picking it up at a coffee shop or subscribers?
Well, I definitely noticed more of a buzz about the magazine, which is great. At the same time, we've been doing some changes in magnifying our electronic offerings as well. So it might be something related to that as well. Sales is something that will take a matter of months to see. You know, that's something we'll probably have to look at in the summertime to see if the trend paid off. I think it will. I hear people talk about the magazine more than ever since I've been here, which is good. And he's like, well, what if it's bad? I said, no, as long as you're talking about the magazine, we're relevant. Because, you know, hey, look, let's be honest about what's been going on in the industry. There's been national magazines that have been folding left and right for the last 10 years. But Frederick Magazine, with its loyal readership, is a niche magazine. It's been very popular, and it's in business. It's thriving, right? So when I hear back from people, you know, oh, I love it. I love it. I said, well, that's good. But, you know, what I'm kind of worried about is that guy has been with me since, you know, 1986. You know, so We'll see. There's a lot of different pieces we have to take care of as we move along here.
How do you ensure consistency as you move forward with the rebrand? You spent a lot of time on the January issue, and then how did you make sure that February and thereafter is consistent?
That's a great question, because it's a very easy trap to fall into, that you throw everything in one magazine. And we've been very conscious of, as we work on the magazine every month, when I say we, I talk about pretty much anyone involved in the magazine, writers, photographers, my assistant editor. And we're very cognizant as we move along that this is something that has to continue. We can't sort of, there is no old way we're going back to. One of the things I wanted to look at, again, being a writer, is how do we, you know, our delivery of content, the written word. And I want it to be much more conversational, much more a narrative style. So it's much more readable in my mind. If we ever felt the need to slip out of that, we just have to slap ourselves and say, wait a minute. No, we're committed to doing it this way. Be more relevant, a bigger part, frankly, of Frederick.
Did anything change as far as the advertisers?
No, the response we're getting, they seem to love it.
Did you require them to have a different look for ads or minimal copy or anything like that?
We have not really influenced them much at all. And frankly, their designs for the most part have been great. So didn't want to throw the baby out, right? No, we have. But the response we've gotten from them is that they love what we're doing. So that's good. Right. But as far as what they have to do at this point, no, who knows? I mean, I hope that when people out there who aren't advertisers see what we're doing and they get excited, who knows? That might challenge them to change their marketing. I don't know. We'd love to have everyone on board. That's for sure.
So I did notice that your social media strategy has shifted a bit to telling more stories and incorporating the stories that are in the magazine in social media forms. Mm-hmm. When did that come into play?
Well, almost simultaneously with the rebrand, redesign of the magazine, we were doing a lot of look at how we were delivering content electronically. And the first thing we did was we redesigned website last year. We kind of been around and around with some different designs. And I think we finally got to something we were comfortable with that people could use as a resource, that we could frankly use as a resource in the office when we need stuff as well. And from there, we looked at how we can leapfrog jump off of that into improvements in social media. Just in the last 6 weeks or so, we've consciously have elevated the content on social media. I have not personally been involved in it. I mean, I am involved in it in that I make sure my content is getting to the appropriate people so it gets out there, because it's great. One of the things that's, you know, when you do a magazine and you do a great story or you do something, you want everyone to see it, right? And I wanted to see more of our content electronically. I wanted to see it out there. I want people sharing their stories. You know, one of the arguments you always hear about that is, you know, but then they won't buy the magazine. I don't care. You know what? I want you to read. I want you to get familiar with Frederick Magazine. You'll buy our magazine eventually anyway. But I really would rather you learn more about us and read the content. For me, as a writer and editor, to get more content out there is the greatest thing, because like many businesses, one of our biggest branding tools is the product itself. That is something we need out there more. And we recognize that.
Right. I hear that a lot with giving away too much on your social media, that they're not paying for it or they won't pay for your services. But at the same time, you have a monthly issue. You're kind of teasing them with this current issue, and they might, it doesn't mean that they're not going to subscribe for the next issue or buy the
It's never been a concern of mine. I think we can't get enough people to look at it, is what I always say.
Yeah.
You know, and anyone that's ever seen me walk around town and just hand out magazines know that, you know, I want more people just to see it.
And it's good writing too. You're putting so much effort into that issue that why not use it to increase your brand visibility?
Yeah. There's a lot of effort that goes into it. I will tell you that.
Speaking of effort, what advice would you give to other businesses that may be thinking about a rebrand?
I'm not a marketer by heart, right? And by trade. In this case, I think me and the other folks at the office, we sort of let our heart direct us to it. We knew it was right. We knew we needed it, right? And I think if you as a business owner look at what you're doing and take a good, honest, long look at what you're doing, and you can say, yeah, I need to do this, then I would highly recommend you seriously consider rebranding or changing your brand. Because if you're even thinking about doing it, that should be a hint that something's going on, right? So in my mind, again, not being anyone with a strong marketing background, it was really a gut reaction that I had to do something, that we had to do something.
How do you plan to build upon the success of this rebrand in the long run?
Well, you know, there's obviously we're going to keep growing the electronic offerings. And again, I'm not directly involved in that, but I think you're going to see some really cool, exciting things happening over the next year on that side. Meanwhile, I think the magazine, again, as we continue to make some very small tweaks to what we're doing on the print side, I think there's some opportunities to do some more fun and exciting type of stories and content and coverage. I wrote this story this month, a piece about a guy who's a hemp farmer. I just thought it was so cool. You know, people are in industrial hemp's a thing now. And I think we're going to see more of those types of things in them. So that's one thing, you know, we got to keep also is to make sure we keep up on what's new and what's fresh and what's out there.
And you personally, what have you learned from this rebrand process?
It's a lot more work than I thought. It's one of those things when because there were many, many, many great ideas that turned out not to be so great that we basically had to discard in favor of something else. And so what I found out was there was a lot of time and effort was put into some things that we ultimately didn't work, right? If you're someone who thinks that everything has to be so productive, well, you're going to be disappointed because there were some hard decisions I think probably had to be made and some easy ones as well. But that was the biggest learning for me was, wow, we're not just going to make all these changes and they're going to work perfectly. Because again, I've never done this before. And I now know that if I did this again, which I hope I never have to, but if I have to, I know I will be much more prepared for the scope of work, mental, you know, expense that goes into something like this, because it can take, you know, years to see what you want to come to fruition. Now, I will say at the end of it, it was tremendously rewarding beyond belief. I was so happy and proud in January when we first came out with the new look, but wow, there was a lot of work went into getting there.
Guy, thank you so much for joining today. And if listeners want to pick up a copy of Frederick Magazine, what can they do?
We're available in local stores all over town, but the best way is to subscribe. Go to www.fredmag.com because our subscription price is so much cheaper than the newsstand price. And it's so easy. It gets delivered to your house every month. So we would love to have you that way.
I'm a subscriber.
Please. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Guy.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Credible Brand Podcast. Please visit wigfieldco.com. That's WIGFIELDCO.com. From there, get links and show notes pertaining to this episode. Send us an email at info@wigfieldco.com if you'd like to be a guest on a future show.